content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, my name is Demi Arsenault from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the October 2018 issue of Lion Magazine. First, we'll have the President's message. Turn a what if into action. Hello, Lions. You know that feeling after a big party when you're both exhausted and re-energized? That's the feeling I had after our 101st International Convention in Las Vegas this past July. I've learned that the seeds of some of our greatest accomplishments as Lions have been planted during conventions. What happens is you meet someone. Maybe they're from far away, a country you've never been to before. Maybe their club is working on a similar issue to your club. Or maybe their club is doing something really well that you wish your club could do better. You start saying, what if? What if there's still more to learn from those Lions? What if we tackled some problems together? Before you know it, an hour has passed or in an entire afternoon, and you know all about their family because Lions are those kinds of people. But you also have plans in motion. In the past, you relied on follow-up phone calls and written letters. Today, you have Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It's easier than ever to stay in touch and exchange ideas. For those of you who didn't make the trip, I hope you'll read all about it and feel the energy of all those Lions in one place. For those of you who were there, I encourage you to use the energy you found at convention to build momentum for you and your club. Gather those scraps of paper you collected with names, phone numbers, and email addresses. Get on social media and add to your circle of friends. Continue conversations that may have begun as a simple what if and turn them into action. Yours, Gudrun Yngvetotter, International President of Lions Club International. And next we'll move on to one of our feature articles titled Welcome to Lion Country. A conference, a convert, and Lions contagious kindness. I arrived to the Lions Club International Conference in Las Vegas with a secret. I wasn't a lion. I'd never been a lion. I wasn't sure I'd even ever met one before. I was a writer from Las Vegas, contracted to cover the conference for Lion Magazine. I knew only what I'd read online. Lions Clubs International is the largest and oldest service organization in the world. Members from more than 200 countries would be attending the convention at the MGM Resort and Casino, and it was only the second time in more than 100 years that the conference had been hosted in Las Vegas. I studied the lions around me in the crowded hotel corridor, a Filipino couple wearing tailored blue jackets, a group of Indian men in gray suits, a woman wearing a lion hat, and everywhere, the telltale pin-adored vests, a sea of yellow. The lions stood out, especially in contrast to the hotel's other visitors. Swarms of bathing suit-clad men and women carrying giant inner tubes and 3-foot-long margaritas. The inner tubes were because the resort's pool was located adjacent to the conference headquarters. The 3-foot-long margaritas were because, well, it was Vegas, and the 3-foot-long margaritas are practically the city's mascot. The lions looked friendly, but as I headed outside toward the exhibit hall, I wondered if my interloper status would be an issue. Would the 15,000 club members attending the conference accept me, an outsider, as one of their own? I stepped into the exhibit hall, a stadium-sized room replete with stages, murals, quote walls, and tables of shiny gold pins, and walked until I came across a cornered-off section in the middle of the hall where a group of lions sat in folding chairs. As I got closer, I noticed the medical kits and the men and women in white lab coats, and the realization dawned on me. I'd wandered into a blood drive. It was 9:30 in the morning. We were in the world's premier party destination, and dozens of lions were using their vacation time to donate blood. One of the lions being prepped was a man wearing a single fluorescent rainbow-colored shoe. He was missing a leg. He was also missing an arm. This was my first indication that there might be something special about lions. Here was this man who clearly had experienced more than his fair share of hardship in life, and yet he was giving where he could, donating his blood so that someone facing an even worse predicament might see his or her fortunes reversed. In the days to follow, I witnessed this display of unfiltered kindness on numerous occasions. Lions offered directions when I looked lost, and a seat at their lunch table when I looked lonely. After I failed to locate my car in the parking garage and security went looking for it, a lion offered to wait with me so that I wouldn't have to stand in a deserted garage by myself. Several lions invited me to visit them in their countries, handing me their business cards and promising me that they'd give me a tour of their hometowns if I ever came to visit. They gave me gifts, flower leis, keychains, stress balls, and pins. They added me as a friend on social media. But it was more than just polite overtures and common decency. The lions I met were open and seemingly unafraid to be vulnerable. One man shared with me his struggles adapting to his teenage daughter's diabetes diagnosis. Another revealed how his life had been changed after a scary medical diagnosis. And everywhere I looked were examples of lions daring to be their authentic, silly selves, singing folk songs in the parade, dancing in the exhibit hall to Pharrell Williams' song Happy, waving their hands and singing as the cover band playing Neil Diamond's Sweet Caroline in the MGM Grand Garden Arena. Prior to moving to Las Vegas, I'd lived in more than 20 cities. Tokyo, New York, Orlando, Honolulu, and Salzburg, to name a few, and had gotten to know people from a wide variety of countries and cultures. I can thus say with some authority that the lions I met at the 101st Lions Club International Convention were different. They were special. Giving changes you. Why are lions so nice? I was standing outside the MGM Grand Garden Arena, pen and notepad in hand, talking to two college students who were wearing red, white, and blue top hats and jackets with the words Japan Lions emblazoned on the front and back. Neither student was from Japan. The hats and jackets were gifts from some lions they'd taken a photo with earlier, a spontaneous moment of generosity. Foreshta Ramusi from the Calgary MRU Lions Club theorized that one possible reason lions seemed so warm was because they looked past the superficial. People see people for who they are and not their job titles, she explained. Ramusi had noticed that to be especially true at the conference, where, despite coming from vastly different cultures, everyone behaved like old friends. It's a utopia. It's like a small country, everyone interacting together. Christopher Remtula, also from the Calgary MRU Lions Club, suggested that it was because serving others makes people happier and more positive. Giving back to the community lifts your spirits, he said. United for the Common Good. Lion Bradley Barth from the Altoona Lions Club in Eau Claire, Washington, Wisconsin, thought that the difference I noticed might be due to the lions' keen communication skills. Because we serve, we naturally interact with a lot of people. We go out into the community, so we're used to talking to different people from different backgrounds, he explained. Simon Domper from the Norsewood Lions Club in Norsewood, New Zealand, shared a similar point of view, saying he attributed lions' friendly and generous spirit to the fact that lions clubs attract a wide scope of people from varied backgrounds. This diversity forces club members to be open-minded, tolerant, and flexible. It's necessary if you want to be able to work together, he explained. Domper's village has 350 residents, 20 of whom are lions, and yet everyone has a different background. Farmers, teachers, cheesemakers. We're very accepting of people of different backgrounds, he said. I got to see this special brand of inclusivity firsthand during the Parade of Nations when 10,000 lions, many of them dressed in the traditional garb of their country, marched with one another through downtown Las Vegas. United in their discomfort under the oppressive desert heat, the lions walked, sang, and chanted past the law officers, drive-through wedding chapels, and historic casinos of old Las Vegas. While the dividing lines between the countries may have been evident at the start of the parade, by the middle of it, the lines had begun to blur. The Nigerians were marching with the Brazilians. The Indians were waving flags from the U.S. state of Iowa. And the Chinese were leading crowds of Americans in China in shouting, "China, China, go, go, go." As a first-time Parade of Nations spectator, the experience was surreal. You could see it on the faces of some of the Las Vegas tourists who looked surprised to have wandered out of their hotels and into a kaleidoscope of colors and cultures. During one of the plenary sessions, the audience was asked to rise to their feet and sing a song. I hesitated before standing. I didn't want to participate. I wanted to observe. I'd chosen a seat at the back of the auditorium for that very reason. But then the lions around me looked at me expectantly with outreached hands, and so I stood. I held their hands, and I did my best to sing along. At first, I felt silly and self-conscious, but as the chorus of thousands of voices washed over the arena, I felt moved, too. On my first day at the conference, Ashka Jogi, a Leo from India, had said, "Leos and lions make it seem that an ideal world is not that far off." At that time, that comment had struck me as sappy and idealistic. But after watching a stadium of people from nearly 200 countries hold hands and sing with one another, I began to see what he meant. Making a difference. During the five-day conference, I watched lions sort hotel soaps for the homeless and brave triple-digit desert temperatures to harvest vegetables at a community garden. I heard stories from lions in India who were working in cancer hospitals, lions in Panama who were making children's coloring books, and lions in the Philippines who were planting forests of mangrove trees. Throughout, I couldn't help but think what a gift they've given themselves. A lot of people may be hesitant to volunteer because they think the world's problems are too many or too massive. But the lions I met seemed to know better. They knew that the key lies in daring to show up, daring to try. One of the presentations I attended was by a woman from Leader Dogs for the Blind, a nonprofit that provides vision impaired with non-seeing dogs. With seeing eye dogs. She told the story of a man who'd gone blind as a result of a genetic disorder. He'd lost his job and his family and was planning to commit suicide until a Lions member stepped in and helped arrange for him to be matched with a leader dog. Everybody wonders if they've made a difference in the world, she concluded. Lions don't have to wonder. What a powerful thing it must be to know with full certainty that the work you've done will have a lasting impact on the planet. Maybe the kindness I'd seen on display at the conference wasn't an inherent personality trait, but merely the result of living a life imbued with meaning. Live by example. A big theme of the convention was the need for change and the need to adapt to new technologies like social media. Some of the convention's most attended workshops had titles like "Attracting Millennials to Join Lions" and "Learn to Tweet." But if my example is anything to go by, one of the best things Lions can do to recruit new members is to live by example. Whether it's through Facebook or actual face-to-face conversations, it's the Lions' quiet optimism, authenticity, and dedication to service that outsiders will find most attractive. Let that shine through, and the recruits will follow. I would know. When I arrived to the convention as an outsider, 5 days and several new friends later, I left the conference with a pin and a commitment to serve. I'm not a lion, but that may soon change. Because now I have a new secret. I will be attending my first Lions Club meeting next week. From our Global Service Department, Lions help Big Brothers, Big Sisters go places. Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Southwest Virginia were in a bind. They have multiple littles in their one-to-one child mentoring program and lots of bigs to support them, but they had no way to transport them to activities. And then the Lions drove up. Lions of District 24E, the Lions of Virginia Foundation, and LCIF joined forces and bought a new $40,000 van for the organization as part of LCI's Centennial Community Legacy Project program. It will impact the lives of hundreds of children who live in the area. Big Brothers Big Sisters is the oldest and largest mentoring organization in the U.S., matching children in need with an adult one-on-one to mentor. In Roanoke, Virginia, and the many rural communities around it, they serve about 400 children ages 6 to 12, says June House, CEO of Big Brothers Big Sisters of Southwest Virginia. The one van they had wasn't enough to get all of the children where they needed to be, and they were having to rent a van regularly. It was very expensive, and then when you add in the insurance and other concerns, we were limited, and we just couldn't do it, says House. She heard about the Lions helping another group, and she approached LCI past council chair Martin Alford, and then who put the wheels in motion, gathering club and district financial support to match grant funds from LCIF and the Lions of Virginia Foundation. The 15-passenger van now allows organizers to take the children on field trips and after-school enrichment activities, and to transport bigs and the littles together to programs like hiking and fishing. Giving them this time together is important, says House. The volunteers give 4 hours a month to mentoring their matched child, and it appears to be helping. House says 100% of the children in the Southwest Virginia chapter have avoided the juvenile justice system. For the Virginia Lions, they were able to make a lasting impact on the lives of children in need for mentoring and support, Alford says. And as for House, she's found the Lions to be exceptional. So exceptional that she's planning to join a Virginia club. From Argentina, welcome signs show unity and inclusion. The Ayacucho Lions Club in Argentina has found a way to greet travelers to their country in a big way. The club, which celebrated its 50th anniversary in April of 2017, installed two welcome signs at the entrance to the city. The idea for the signs came from the past club president, Rafael Locino, and are intended as a symbol and unity and inclusion to all visitors. And it shows a picture of the red and white sign. In bright red, it has a border that says Club de Leones, Bienvenidos, which means welcome, and Ayacucho up at the top. And next, from our In the News department, Sister Cities, Fellow Lions. In July, Taiwanese officials, including three Lions, came to Illinois to visit their new sister city of Westmont. In August of 2017, Westmont entered into a formal sister city relationship with Hsinchu County, Taiwan, building cultural, educational, and economic ties between the two communities. When Lion Ron Gunter, the mayor of Westmont, traveled to Taiwan in 2016 in the hopes of forging a relationship in the cultural home of many of Westmont's large Asian community, he was surprised to be warmly welcomed by about 20 Taiwanese Lions. It turns out that the Taiwanese officials reading his resume before he arrived were also Lions. "I had no idea," says Gunter. "They also have a very strong Lions Club, and our Lions have been one of the leading organizations that helped make this happen." So when Taiwanese officials arrived in July, Westmont Lions returned the favor. 15 Westmont Lions greeted them at their hotel and made them breakfast at the Westmont Fire Department before taking them to tour LCI headquarters, a trip that was tops of the visitors' list of things to do. Westmont had already seen the benefits of the sister city's relationship with cultural programs and the student exchange program, says the mayor. "And now we find we also have the strong connection of Lions International." And if you're wondering what Lions around the world are doing, here's some club news. Sylvania Sunrise Lions in Ohio held their 15th annual fishing derby for the visually impaired at Marikel Farley Trout Club, where they taught children to fish and also provided a picnic lunch. Lions cleaned the catch and provided the materials to send the fish home with the families. With the support of the Lions Club of Pound Ridge in New York, the Horace Greeley High School Foreign Exchange Club has been running a student exchange with the Carey Baptist Grammar School in Melbourne, Australia for 8 years. 4 students from each school have the opportunity to live with an exchange student's family for 6 weeks. The South Carolina Lions Club in Maryland held their annual Safeway raffle, and the winner received a $500 gift card. Safeway matched the club's $250 to fund the prize. Funds raised support two annual scholarships for high school seniors. The club also supports community and elementary school programs, Lions Camp Merrick for diabetic children, and members make blankets for Project Linus each year. Oceanside Sea Lions in California celebrated their 50th anniversary with a party. Each year, they sponsor the Miss Oceanside and Miss Teen Oceanside sponsorship pageant, and this year, Lions gave out more than $6,000 in cash scholarships and prizes. These queens and princesses become goodwill ambassadors for the city, the Oceanside Chamber of Commerce, and the Oceanside Sea Lions, and do community service work throughout the year. In Canada, the Lions Club of Robertini-la-Sigourney, Quebec, inducted as an honorary member 102-year-old Simone Cote to celebrate Lions Centennial. In Maine, the Yarmouth Lions presented a birthday cake to their 102-year-old member, Epson Christensen, a Lion for 50 years, a Melvin Jones Fellow, and a decorated World War II veteran. The Lamar Lions in Missouri donated $250 to help rebuild the granite Vietnam Memorial at the Lamar High School, honoring six graduates who gave their lives in the war. On the island of Kauai, Hawaii, the North Shore Lions Club donation of 10 washing machines is helping victims of spring floods that brought 50 inches of rain in 24 hours. Landslides blocked the roads, and floods tore apart homes. The Lions also worked with Hale Halawai Ohana Ohanalai Community Center to get water heaters for flood victims. The Greenville Lions in Michigan teamed up with members of the 4-H program to operate a booth at the Montcalm County 4-H Fair. The 4-H provided the building and the booth, and the Lions supplied man-hours to shop, cook, and serve the food. They split the revenue of $9,000, and the Lions will share their half with the community through services, volunteer projects, and opportunities for the children. Westminster Lions in Maryland hosted a paint night with participants painting birdhouses. Proceeds went to Lions Saving Kids Sight, a nationwide program offering community eye screenings for children. Sarasota Lions in Florida joined with Grace Community Church for their first Day of Hope. Two registered nurses, Lions from Brazil and Argentina, joined the club in glucose screenings and vision screenings. The Cold Springs Lions in Minnesota held their ninth annual golf tournament and cash raffle at River Oaks Golf Course. The winner of the cash raffle received $1,000. For more than 20 years, the Chestertown Lions Club in Maryland has sponsored the town's Halloween parade for families, with the assistance of the Washington College Student Government Association. Lions sponsor a contest giving out monetary prizes for best-dressed contestants and best-dressed floats, and each year the mayor is dressed in costume and armed with a large basket of candy for the kids along the parade route. And next, a reminder that not only humans can serve, an article titled Two Dogs Named Lopez. A gentle black Labrador retriever named Lopez left large paws to fill in the life of Andrea Connor, a member in the Wakanda Lions Club in Illinois, and in the hearts of other club members who regarded the guide dog as more than just a mascot. He was a member. We always referred to him as Lion Lopez, and he served like any other member of the club, says James Kaiser, club president. Sadly, after many years of service, Lopez died in July of 2017. The club was so touched by the loss that they decided to donate $5,000 in his honor to Guiding Eyes for the Blind, a nonprofit in Yorkville Heights, New York, that raises, breeds, and trains guide dogs. The donation is covering part of the cost of training another dog who is currently learning how to be a guide dog. It also gave them naming rights. They named him Lopez. The original Lopez got involved in the club in 2008 through Connor, who suffers from degeneration of the retina and is legally blind. I'd fallen three times in 1 year, and the third time I broke my ankle, recalls Connor, who is 67 years old, and who, in order to be safe, started to walk with a white cane and received Lopez from Guiding Eyes for the Blind. I called him my Velcro dog, Connor says. He followed me everywhere. He allowed me to live as normal a life as possible. There were a lot of transition as I was handling my vision loss, and he was a very sweet and affectionate dog. Lopez went to Lions Club meetings and fundraisers and helped sell raffle tickets. When the club held a raffle for a Hawaiian trip or other events, some people were at first reluctant to purchase tickets. They changed their minds after meeting Lopez. I put a Hawaiian lei around his neck, and people who had said no to buying a ticket would all of a sudden start asking me questions about Lopez. And then they would change their mind and say they wanted to buy a ticket, Connor says. He was a rock star, Kaiser says. People wanted to meet Lopez, and Andrea got a chance to explain to them what Lions clubs do from a personal perspective. Since Lopez passed away, Connor has settled into a new partnership with a yellow Labrador named Gretzky. But Lopez will always hold a special place in her heart. She's thrilled to know he is not forgotten. Lopez impacted so many lives, including my Lions Club, she says. It's wonderful to help fund the training of a puppy who will carry on his legacy of enriching someone's life with independence, companionship, and love. From our In the News department, Special Olympics celebrates 50th anniversary. Special Olympics, a Lions Club International collaborative partner, celebrated its 50th anniversary July 17th to 21st, 2018 in Chicago, Illinois, which is the original birthplace of the Games. It was 50 years ago that the organization kicked off its first event, hosting 1,000 athletes at Soldier Field in downtown Chicago. Anniversary events, including the first-ever Special Olympics Unified Cup, a star-studded Global Day of Inclusion, a law enforcement torch run, and a ceremonial lighting of the Special Olympics Eternal Flame of Hope, which symbolizes the organization's mission toward inclusion and justice for people with intellectual disabilities. And I just want to take a moment to read some of our by-the-numbers on the International Convention in 2018. 130 is the number of countries represented. 2,000 people per year fed by the Las Vegas Community Garden, Vegas Roots, which was the site of a service project for the Lions attending the convention. 15,000 Lions registered to attend. And 4.5 weight in pounds of Lion Jay Pull's pin-adorned vest, which he showcased at the 2018 convention. And that's all that we have time for today. But if you have any further questions, you can check out the Lions Club magazine online at www.lionsclubs.org. Be sure to tune in next time. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Demi Arsenault for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for the print and visually impaired audience. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleradingservice.org. So long until next time. If you have any questions or comments, please call 919-832-5138. And again, 919-832-5138.